Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I gotta catch a glimpse of these warlocks. Let's make a move.
She's going around the corner.
Come on.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of nude people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
We should mate.
What?
Date. I said we should date sometime. You know, socially. Go out and kick it.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
You're pretty sick, chaps.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Second hour, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan, Portland sports leader. Beautiful week we've had. Hope you guys are able to enjoy it somewhat. Don't know when this weather's going to turn, but I'm sure it will at some point. This is fake spring.
We got fake spring going on. It's supposed to rain apparently this weekend, but did you see next week we're going to get up into the 60s twice?
Man, that's going to be shorts weather.
I'm rocking shorts and flip-flops, baby.
I mean, I'm already barely wanting to wear a jacket, and it's like 48, but it's sunny, and I'm like, yeah, the sun's out. We're good. I don't want to wear a jacket anymore.
It feels fantastic. As long as that wind's not blowing, this is all you can ask for in February.
The wind doesn't help when it does blow, though. We got a lot to get to here in the second hour. Sam Gordon's going to join us. He writes for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He covers, in part, boxing for the paper. He's going to join us at 1:30 with the Deontay Wilder-Tyson Fury fight, which is part two. The last one was a draw. If you missed it, Fury got knocked down in the last round, gets up, holds his own, fight's called, or, you know, fight ends because it's last round, ends up being a draw. It was a great fight.
It was a great fight.
As soon as it was done and they announced a draw, I looked at my buddy and said, I can't wait for us to watch the rematch. So I'm looking forward to that. He's going to join us at 1:30. But I want to start. We haven't talked about Dak Prescott in a while, and he still hasn't gotten his contract extension.
He's not.
There was a report that said that Dak Prescott at last year's combine, his representation, the word going around the combine was that his reps were looking to get Dak into the $40 million range, that he should be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. To that, I would say, well, you're going to quickly be passed by Patrick Mahomes because he won a Super Bowl and you've won only one playoff game.
Yeah, it'll last 1 year.
But Dak is looking for big money. Well, last year also, Emmitt Smith came out and said, hey, Dak, go get your money, man. Go get paid. Emmitt Smith held out two games in 1993 because he wanted to get paid. Well, Emmitt Smith is now backtracked a year later. He was on the Adam Lefkoe podcast. And he basically said, are you willing to take 28 instead of 35 and leave more for Amari? You're the Dallas Cowboy quarterback. You get endorsements. You'll make it up in endorsement money. And there were actually Cowboy fans along with NFL fans who just destroyed Emmitt Smith for that point of like, really? A year ago, you're telling him to go get his money. Now you're telling him to take a discount.
Right.
You sound like a puppet for Jerry Jones.
That's exactly what he's doing. He's negotiating for Jerry and the media.
But let me say this. He's not wrong. Take 28, you'll get endorsement money. You already get endorsement money. You're a chunky soup spokesperson. Give some money to Amari or open money up in other areas, and you'll be set. You'll be good. You'll still be making $28 million a year.
Here is the difficult part of this conversation is that both sides of the conversation and argument are right. They're both spot on. The argument for Dak Prescott is, one, why should he have to take a pay cut? The market's going to deem how much he's worth. If Dallas wants to pay him or if they want to franchise tag him and he goes somewhere else, he's going to get paid just like all these other quarterbacks, most of which, I would argue, don't really deserve it. Jared Goff got a huge contract before he had proven he could do it for multiple years. Carson Wentz got it, and I know he had a decent season this year, but there's no guarantee that he continues to be a top five guy in the league. Some of these contracts have looked bad after a short amount of time. Kirk Cousins, another example, a guy that got a lot of guaranteed money and has only won one playoff game now in 2 years, and people still question how talented he is. Dak Prescott can go top basically all of those guys' salaries, and if a team's willing to offer it to him, why should he say no? Because if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm also looking at it of, I was just on a rookie deal. I was getting paid very little money. What was he, a third-round pick, right? Second or third-round pick?
Something like that, yeah.
Right, so he's not even getting like top 10 quarterback first-round money. He's getting, you know, second, third, fourth-round quarterback money. I was making that little, and you couldn't put a title team around me. So why is it going to be different? So now I'm going to take a discount on my next contract, and you're still going to be able, that'll make you be able to put a championship team around me? That would be my logic if I'm Dak Prescott.
But wouldn't the response from Dallas just be, well, yeah, but you didn't perform in certain moments when we needed you to because you were still developing. We were helping you develop. You had a great start to your career. We couldn't be happier to have you as a quarterback, but just because you're on the rookie deal, you're only going to get so many Patrick Mahomes in life. You'll only get so many guys on a rookie deal that are actually going to go win a Super Bowl. Jared Goff almost did it, right? Carson Wentz kind of came close before he got injured the year they did win it. Mm-hmm. But you're only going to go so many quarterbacks in your entire lifetime that are going to be able to capitalize on that. The Russell Wilsons and Patrick Mahomes of the world, to me, are far more rare than just... Because that's what we do now is... And this kind of... I hate tying it in because we did a half hour on it. But this kind of ties into the... how much a player makes thing is we are programmed now to talk about rookie deals. Nobody was talking about rookie deals when I started at 1080 The Fan. That was never a conversation. He's on a rookie deal. You got a strike.
Yeah, that's
nobody
how you
was
win
talking
now.
About that. But Russell Wilson won the Super Bowl on a rookie deal with the Legion of Boom, and it took off.
Yeah, Mahomes like, just did the same thing.
And then Patrick Mahomes does it. So you have two guys in recent years that have both done it. And now it seems to be the narrative, right? Like, it came out that Tua, somebody asked Tua a hypothetical, if you could choose any team, what team would you want to play for? And Tua was really honest. You could bash him for it or you could hate it, but you got to be at least appreciative of that he was honest. And he said, I'd love to play for the Dallas Cowboys. And he also said, you know, I don't want to step on toes. I'm not telling you to get rid of Dak or anything. But asking the question, what team would I want to play for? Dallas Cowboys. Well, now some Cowboy fans probably got to run and go, we could get Tua on a rookie deal and restart right. The next 3 years.
Well, if we trade Dak Prescott and go draft Tua.
Yeah, trade Dak. Tua might be better than, you know what I mean? Like now we're programmed to operate in a very small way of like GMs. Well, we got to get a rookie deal. Got to get that guy on a rookie deal.
That's the way it works. Until you see one of these high-priced quarterbacks, we talked about this after the Super Bowl, until you see one of those guys win a title or win multiple titles, that conversation and that narrative is always going to be out there. And it's, you know, it's so easy because I understand the fan angle of it, of saying, wouldn't you want more talent around you? Wouldn't you want more weapons?
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy from our perspective and the fan perspective to say, take 28 instead of taking 35.
Well, thank Tom Brady for that.
Right.
By the
Tom
way.
Brady is the prime example of this. He's a guy that has taken less than his entire career. And everybody's wondering, is there some sweetheart deal when he retires from New England? He also has a wife who makes $100 million a year as a supermodel. It's easy for Tom Brady to do that. Not everybody's in the same situation as him, and I don't know what Dak's financial situation is outside of the Cowboys. He will make decent money in endorsements, but it's so easy to say take less, build a championship team around you, as it is for Dak Prescott, who's looking at that saying, wait a minute, you want me to lose $7-8 million a year over a 5 or 6 year contract? Yeah. That adds up, man. That's a lot of money that I'm giving up.
It does.
It really is. So I get the perspective of saying, man, take less isn't winning what is most important, but you don't even really know what is most important to all these guys. And if you're Dallas, I think the question is mostly on their shoulders of how do you want to handle this? Because now there's rumors that are coming out that they're going to franchise tag him, that they're going to go.
That's what Robert Mays was, and I'm sure he's going to tell us when we have him on next week, but that was something I heard in his podcast, the NFL show. They said, what do you think is going to happen? And him and Kevin Clark, who are really respected in the NFL world, they both think Cowboys are going to end up franchise tagging him for a year. And then getting their ducks more in a row and saying, okay, what was your production this season? All right, now we should establish if we pay you 35 or 40 million.
Here's the I don't like that. I like pooping or getting off the toilet. I don't like kicking this thing down the road for a couple of years. Washington did this for 2 years with Kirk Cousins, and Dak Prescott probably slightly better than Kirk Cousins, but I don't think there's a huge difference there based on what they've accomplished in their careers. you're not committing, and it's going to end up putting you between a rock and a hard place. So if you franchise tag him next year, are we expecting Dak Prescott to take a huge jump next season? Are we expecting him to all of a sudden enter a conversation of a top three guy in the league, top five guy in the league?
I'm not saying top three or even maybe top five. I am expecting a jump, and if there's no jump, I think Dallas is going to have some ground to stand on if they tag him and say...
Well, guess what? You're not. I mean, he's going to demand a certain amount of money,
right?
Because why are his demands going to come down? He's not going to decrease his value next year,
right?
He might come out and be the same player.
He's still going to have a lot of value if he ever hits the market,
right?
And the Cowboys say no thanks.
It's going to be the same thing. So you're basically just punting on a decision until next season. And if his numbers are exactly the same, you're going to be sitting here next offseason in the same exact spot you were in this offseason of saying, "Well, he's good, not great. He's not going to carry a team, but you can win with him." But is he worth $35 million a year? I don't know. His demands aren't all of a sudden going to go down. His value isn't all of a sudden going to disappear. You're in the same exact spot next year. Then you franchise tag him again. Do you pull the Kirk Cousins? You do it back-to-back years. Then you let him walk in free agency. I just don't like that. I think if you're Dallas, you commit, hopefully at a reasonable price, or you try and find some package, you trade him, and you move on.
Yeah.
If you don't think he's your guy.
All right, we'll have a little more on this. And then coming up next, I want to dive into the Tua stuff because the combine is rapidly approaching. And the conversations around Tua and where he goes, I find very interesting. Also, curious from people out there, if your team is in a position, would you want them to take Tua? Do you trust Tua as a franchise guy? The fan text line's 55305. We're back with that on 1080 The Fan. To my point about nobody talking about rookie deals when I started at The Fan, a listener points out, rent in Vancouver for a two-bedroom apartment was also $750 a month. When you started at 1080 The Fan. So
yeah, I remember
a lot of changes.
When we first started, I lived in Hillsborough. I had an apartment. I think I paid $400 a month. I think it was like $800 total.
Ah, those were the days, my man. Those were the days.
$400 a month, man. That was easy.
Sam Gordon of the Las Vegas Review-Journal is going to join us coming up here at the bottom of the hour, the big Wilder Fury fight this weekend. I'm getting together with a bunch of buddies. We're going to watch it. Are you have any plans for the fight?
Are you going to split screen it on the CW with the Winterhawks and Thunderbirds going at it?
Oh, are you
the
working this weekend?
Center? I'm working, man. I'm getting that Cheddar tomorrow night.
Okay. Are you going to try to buy it and watch it Sunday, or are you just
going
to see the highlights and call it good?
You know, I got to admit, man, I'm still a little butthurt about the first one because I spent a lot of money on that fight, and it was a great fight.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome fight. Trying to get into boxing, heavyweights, is all I've ever asked for. It ended in a tie.
Yeah. Well, who would you have picked to win? Wilder?
Probably Wilder. I mean, I don't remember. I don't vividly remember all the details from it off the top of my head.
Fury got some good hits on him, but Wilder got him to the ground.
Yeah, I feel like Fury landed more punches and controlled more of the fight, but Wilder knocked him down, but he got up.
Yeah,
so I mean, he did. But that has to count for something, though. He knocked him down. I was so pissed, man. I was like, I invested this money. I watched this long fight. Like, I was all into it, and I had my opinion on who should win, and it was a draw.
That's how I felt about Triple G and Canelo Alvarez the first time. Like a draw?
I don't care. Like, you can give a controversial winner. I don't care. I might disagree with it. Just pick a winner so I can have a take one way or the other.
Yeah, I don't like having fights where there's draws. I know it can be difficult in certain circumstance, but I'd rather just, like you said, give me even a little controversy.
Just give me a winner, man. That's all I ask for. This isn't soccer, okay? But make sure you split screen it on the CW tomorrow night, 6 o'clock.
I'm going to stream it on my phone.
Yeah, vicious battle right after Moesha.
I think I have the CW on YouTube TV.
Boom, right before Sister Sister.
See your mug on my phone while I'm watching a fight with some friends. That's not going to be weird at all.
Some Northwest hockey, eh?
One of my buddies that listens to the show, he's like, is that Andy over there?
Is that what I hear over there?
Yeah, he's calling hockey yeah, tonight.
Here we go.
So Sam Gordon of Las Vegas Review Journal is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. The Dak Prescott thing, I think ultimately, if you're a Cowboy fan and he comes in at like 34... or even at the Russell Wilson number, I think you're ecstatic. When you get to like 38 to 40.
Know. Yeah, I mean, I'm terrified even of that.
Right, but somebody said, what's the cap? I think the cap was somewhere around 180-something this year, but I used 2018's cap numbers that I have right now, and that was 177. That's, you know, 40 million of 177 is about what, 24%?
Yeah, something like that.
26%?
Sure, I'll trust your math. Sounds about right.
40 of 188 is like 21%. So that's what you're dealing with your salary cap stuff.
Well, in Dallas, I mean, they're just in a weird spot right now because, you know, Swigard rants about their offensive line all the time. He's right. New head coach, so we'll see how that works out. They gave the contract to Zeke after he held out last year, which I don't think aged very well after one season. And I never like to do it off of one game. I think it can be sometimes misleading. But, I mean, their biggest game of the year was the game in Philly in week 15, 16, towards the end of the season, where the division was still up for grabs. You're going to have a crappy division winner, but you go into Philly, you win. They smoked them earlier in the season in Dallas. And they took away Zeke in that game, and Prescott was just awful. He was just awful. Like, dude, that's not a number one defense league. Philly had an okay defense, but let's not act like you're facing the 85 Bears out there. They couldn't get anything done offensively. They scored 9 points in that game, and they lost 17-9. Mm-hmm. They lost the division because of it. I think we're getting closer and closer. Dallas might not be the example. We're getting closer and closer to a team finally punting on this, that you just have to pay the guy, of saying, you know what? We got a talented team. Let's try and find the next guy in the draft, whether it's trading up.
So that's what I was going to ask. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm Dallas, that's what I do here. I honestly do. And Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. He should get every penny that a team is willing to pay him. I just advocated for that. But if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, man, I can't win that way. You're just not going to be able to. There are still questions. Russell Wilson.
So you're punting on Dak. Dak is a franchise 40.
That's what I'm saying. I think he is, but I just think in the current climate of the NFL, as long as it exists this way, can you build a championship contender with him throwing 21 touchdowns and 9 picks, making $38 million a year? The answer to that is no. Russell Wilson is undoubtedly one of the top 3 quarterbacks in the league. Agree?
I still think you can make an argument he's the best.
Right, he's the
even
best.
Even with Mahomes,
I think he's top 2. I think he's right behind Patrick Mahomes, but everybody has him there. There are questions of if you can do it with Russ making $35 million a year. And maybe they do. Maybe they prove people wrong. And Russ rattles off a couple of more titles. But if you can't do it with Russ and it's not a guarantee you can do it with Russ, what makes you think you can do it with Dak Prescott? Russ is light years better than Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm an NFL GM, I think you're getting close. Dallas probably won't be the example to do it. But like if you're the Rams, you think they would want to do over on that contract?
Yeah, I think they would have chose to not give him the extension when they did and played out the season. And then where are they at? If the season happens exactly the same that we just saw with the Rams, and look, Goff had some moments, but largely which was not that great, and he didn't get that extension, I wonder if the Rams are thinking about that. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that is probably, I kind of think without a doubt that's where we're headed. I don't know if the team's going to be good, if they're going to be great, if they're going to be bad. But there's going to be a franchise that's going to punt on paying that quarterback and saying, we like you, but you just don't give us all that much and you can't win a game by yourself. Why are we going to commit $30+ million a year to you and take that big of a chunk of our cap away when we think we can load up on the defensive line, on our secondary, on our offensive line, and just call it good with whoever else we pick? Detroit's facing this. This is what Detroit is battling right now internally. Mm-hmm. And this was what I was gonna bring about Tua is we mentioned the Caesars Sportsbook made Detroit a co-favorite to land Tua. Now, a lot of people speculated. We had a guy in Detroit, Justin Rogers, join us, and he was like, man, I don't know about that. It's gonna cost him money to trade Matt Stafford. I think they're gonna draft him. I really do. I think they're gonna make the surprise pick. They're going to draft Tua. He's going to sit this year. They're going to play one more year out with Stafford, and they're not going to do anything, and then they're going to move on and give this team to Tua. Because, look, you're only going to take your team so far if you keep paying a quarterback and bringing him back year after year and your results don't change. Not to blame everything on Stafford in Detroit, because there are obviously far bigger circumstances there, but quarterbacks change your game. Mm-hmm. They change the team. They change everything about it. True franchise quarterbacks. He doesn't. He's good.
He's good.
I think you can win a Super Bowl with him, but I think he has to be in a Chicago situation.
Right.
Great defense, nice little pieces, a good coach, and you can win.
You know who he is? Who would just say connected locally? It's a C.J. McCollum kind of thing.
Yes, C.J. McCollum is a very fair comparison.
C.J. McCollum is a good player.
Yeah.
Nobody doubts that he's a good player. Is he worth $35 million a year?
No.
Can you build a championship team with him making $35 million a year?
I find it very difficult to do that.
That's the whole issue. Like, maybe you can, but you got to be perfect everywhere else on the roster if he's making that much money. It just makes your job that much more difficult.
Detroit's going to find themselves. I don't have faith Detroit's going to be good next year. They might be and by good, I mean a serious contender in the playoffs. Their ownership group's already said, you have next year to make the postseason, turn this thing around, you're gone, which is stupid to me. I don't think they're going to turn it around. So why would you not be looking forward to the future? So to your point, I think Detroit might be that team, and I know it's not a rookie deal that Stafford's on. He's been in the league for 8-9 years now. He's been in for a long time.
Yeah.
But I think they're at a point in Detroit where it's very fair to say, well, injury history's bad. You don't really, in big games, remember his record got thrown out there. Yeah. He hasn't won a playoff game his entire time as the quarterback. And in this league, man, fair or not, the quarterback gets credit when they win.
That's what you're judged
and
on.
And they get blamed when they lose.
Yeah, that's what you're judged on.
Is it fair that Baker is thrown as this potential bust label in his second season as a Cleveland Browns quarterback? I tend to think no, but that's what the league is. It's quarterback driven. And if your quarterback does not lead your team in big moments, that's what we remember. It's not that, oh, your organization sucked for 65 years. It's what is the quarterback doing? Yeah. And this goes to what you're saying. Teams might start punting and going, you're not really our guy. We need a rookie deal, or we just think the guy in the draft coming up could be a better direction for us. I do think Detroit's going to draft Tua. It's going to be the elephant hanging over him all year. And I think Stafford plays a season. And then when things are really in the crapper, Tua gets some time at the very end of the year.
Sure, if the year goes bad.
And they move on.
Well, the thing for Tua in Detroit, why it works so well, is that he's not, and you don't want him to play right away. He's not ready for it, and you don't want to force him in there in week one. You know, we were talking about that the other day, and to bring back the whole winning on a rookie QB deal, everybody said, well, you can't sit him. You got to play him right away because that's how you win now in the NFL. Tua is just a unique situation. I tend to agree with that. You got to capitalize on Burrow. You want to capitalize on Herbert. You want to get those guys in there, get them experience, because you want to have an answer. Is he the guy? Can we build? Can we win in the next couple of years? Or is that not going to be a reality? Tua is different because of the injury. You want to make sure he's 100% healthy. There's not going to be a rush for it. And that's why Detroit actually makes a lot of sense. Is that Stafford, if they trade him, the salary cap number or the cap hit that they have to face goes up. So it's just a weird contract situation. So they're not necessarily ready to trade him yet, but you give him one more year. I think the contract situation changes after a season, and you can let Tua get fully healthy, then get him reps at the end of the year. It really does work for both sides. But like, even on a Dallas note, like, look, this is not... it's not an easy way to win a title either. Like, I'm not advocating it's the right answer.
It could actually end up backfiring.
It could backfire, right?
Because I think Washington regrets doing the Cousins thing.
No doubt about it. They totally do. But, here's even an example of a team that was built without an elite quarterback that came close. It's San Francisco. San Francisco's built defensively, running the football, offensive line. Jimmy Garoppolo's good. He's not great. He's a good quarterback. What bit him in the ass? They didn't have a quarterback that could make the throws when they needed them at the most. So it's not an exact science of trying to win. I just tend to look at it. I think you have a better chance of building an elite roster and saying, you know what, maybe we just keep rolling the dice on quarterbacks. Like, if you're Dallas, instead of paying Dak Prescott $35 million a year or whatever he's demanding, what if you could get Teddy Bridgewater for a 3-year deal making like 20? And you're saving 15 or so million dollars. I don't know if Teddy can get more than that on the open market. But
I don't think there's a huge difference personally.
Sure. And maybe some people do. Maybe some people are higher on Dak, but those kind of options will be out there. Not every year, but you're going to have a chance. Maybe you take a guy in the third round, see if you got a flyer. Maybe he turns into something. There are different ways to skin this cat. I tend to think if you're paying Dak $35+ million a year, you're not going to be able to build a title team, but I get both sides. Dak shouldn't have to take less. That's not his responsibility. And if there's going to be a team on the open market that wants to pay him that, he's going to go take that deal.
All right, coming up next, big fight, the heavyweight title on the line between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. Their first clash went the full 12 rounds, ended in a draw. We're going to talk with Sam Gordon of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He's going to be at the second fight, which is Saturday, and we're going to talk about the big one this weekend. Sam Gordon joins us next.
Hey, welcome back in. 1:32 on a Friday. Sprague's all fired up. We got a big boxing match on Saturday night in Vegas.
I guess I'm just a little... I was slightly disappointed. I checked our poll very early after you posted it, and it was like an overwhelming
no.
Not
interested, huh?
And I don't get it. Like, this brings you back. This is what you ask for, and you get it, and it's, I'm going to pass.
This is what you want, man. It's going down Saturday, Wilder and Fury, round two. First fight was great. We get the second one. Joining us now to talk about it, the Las Vegas Review-Journal, is Sam Gordon. Give him a follow on Twitter, @BySamGordon. Sam, thanks for the time, man. We're jacked for this out here. Just what's the vibe like in Vegas, man? I've never had a chance to be in Vegas for a big boxing match like this. What's the vibe like around town right now leading into this thing tomorrow night?
First and foremost, fellas, appreciate you guys having me. It's an exciting time to be in Vegas. There's definitely a different feel to this particular card, this particular fight, than other premier cards. I mean, even some, even a Canelo Alvarez versus a Triple G, fights like that haven't quite had this magnitude. And it's because, I mean, it's obvious, right? These are heavyweights. The heavyweight division is traditionally the most popular division in boxing. Mm-hmm. And for a couple of decades with Vladimir Klitschko and his dominance, mostly in Europe, Vegas was devoid of a marquee fight like this. And now you have two undefeated champions, right, in their respective primes, laying it all on the line at MGM Grand Garden Arena. The energy is spectacular. And I think that's a credit to the the promotion and the teamwork between Al Heyman and Bob Arum, where you get top ranking and PBC partnering ESPN and Fox, the cross promotion has been tremendous. I think just from my perspective, I can't turn on a sports channel, whether it's ESPN or Fox or whatever, and not see a commercial, not see that this is happening, that the promotion has been phenomenal. MGM has done a phenomenal job promoting it as well. I mean, you go into hotels, and on the paneling of the slot machines is Fury Wilder promotion. I mean, the city is totally embracing this. They've been hungry for this for 20-plus years. Hasn't been anything quite like this since, you know, you're looking at Tyson Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, Evander Holyfield. So it's been a really, really long time, and it's definitely an exciting time to be here.
Well, Sam, I know we're looking forward to part two. I already have everything organized. We got a buddy. He's already started cooking. Like, it's a big ordeal for me and my friends. But let me ask you about part one. Who do you think won? Do you think there was a winner, or do you think a draw was the right decision in that? Because that was very controversial. That was a great fight. It went the full length. You had a knockdown. Guy gets up somehow, and they call it a draw. What did you think?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, the first fight was so compelling, so captivating, and I think that's what makes this matchup so interesting as well. I give Fury the slight edge in the first fight. He was more accurate with his punches. He won more rounds, in my opinion. He outlanded Wilder in nine of the rounds. He landed more punches, a higher percentage of punches. Of course, the late knockdown was tremendous and was very, very captivating. And as we know, Fury rebounds for that, rebounded from that. And I thought it was even phenomenal holding Wilder off in that 12th round. Such an epic round. So I lean Fury, but I can see why it was a draw, right? I mean, I don't think there was necessarily a clear-cut winner, especially with the knockdowns. And again, that's what makes this matchup so captivating. You have the classically trained boxer, Tyson Fury, with the skill at 6'9". He says he's going to be 270, who moves like a super middleweight. Right. And then you have the brilliant knockout artist, Deontay Wilder, who has the highest knockout percentage in heavyweight history, higher than George Foreman, higher than Mike Tyson, higher than anybody. So they say styles make fights, and just like you saw in the first one, the contradicting styles is what made that captivating, and it's what makes the rematch equally as captivating tomorrow night.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking with Sam Gordon. This is great stuff. Fights going down tomorrow night in Vegas at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Give him a follow on Twitter, @BySamGordon. And just leading from that fight one to fight two, I tend to agree with you. I think I gave the slight edge to Fury. The first fight, him getting knocked down, kind of changed things, I guess, a little bit late, but it felt like he was in control throughout. Does that change for you going into fight two? Is one of these guys, you just mentioned the styles and how fun of a fight it's going to be, does one guy have a leg up over the other going into tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a really close call. It's hard to say. We know Tyson Fury changed trainers, working with Sugar Hill Stewart now instead of Ben Davison, who was more of a defensive-minded coach. Sugar Hill is a little more offensive, and Tyson has been really vocal. You know, he wants a knockout. He wants to put pressure on Deontay Wilder early. He keeps saying the second round knockout. Now, who knows if that's just promotion or if that's actually going to be a strategy. We're going to find out tomorrow. But you get the sense that he wants to be a little bit more offensive-minded, even more offensively-minded than he was. We know Deontay Wilder's strategy, right? It's to set up that big right hand. And that right hand is devastating. I was there in November when all it took was one punch, Luis Ortiz goes down, and that's a grown man at 250 that was floored by one punch, right? We know how devastating that one punch can be. So I'm not sure anybody has a particular advantage going into tomorrow. I think the X factor, again, I don't even know if it's an X factor because it's what Wilder does, it is that right hand. I mean, Fury can win the first 11 rounds. He can win them decisively, right, and the fight's not over. I mean, it's not over at all because we saw what happened in that 12th round the first time. So it's so captivating. And this is what heavyweight boxing needs. This is what Las Vegas needs. This is what we're going to get tomorrow night.
You know, I'm really jealous you're gonna be there and that you've been able to cover the whole thing leading up to tomorrow night. But I'm curious, Sam, what's been your favorite moment, whether from Fury or Wilder or both or somebody else? What's been your favorite moment leading up to the fight?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would really have to say, the press conference was kind of goofy with those guys, the back and forth and the profanities and the shoving, but that was exciting, and I don't know how much we expected that because throughout the course of the promotion, now I believe there's a genuine rivalry here, a genuine dislike, mutual respect. Don't get me wrong; these guys know what they mean for each other, for their legacies, for their career, and for most importantly, their bank accounts. But I think there was a genuine dislike there, and that manifested at the press conference. But for the most part, both guys, I mean, very, 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 very charismatic in dealing with the media and things like that and promoting the fight. They've been incredibly accessible. They've been accessible to the fans on TV. They've been accessible to us at different with different conference calls, different media events, things like that. So that's been great. It's been refreshing to see how well they've promoted the fight. But the press conference, to me, the pushing and shoving is the moment that sticks out. The Nevada State Athletic Commission actually barred a face-off at the weigh-in, which is happening here in a couple hours. They actually barred a face-off at the weigh-in, probably to prevent any other zaniness from going on like we saw Wednesday. So, I mean, that tells you right there that this is serious business. They don't want anything getting in the way of Saturday. They don't want any. They don't want too many pyrotechnics. Save it for Saturday. Save it for in the ring.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking with Sam Gordon of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Give him a follow on Twitter, @BySamGordon. He's going to be at the fight tomorrow. We can't wait for it. I'll ask you something. This might be impossible to answer. Just curious your perspective on it following the sport. You mentioned the cross-promotion, ESPN and Fox. It's been all over the television this week. Everybody's jacked for it. Not everybody, but a lot of people are jacked for it. Just what do you think this fight does in the long term for just boxing in America?
I think it galvanizes boxing in America. I think it galvanizes the heavyweight division in America. I think this is what America needs. We've had great fights here. We've had great fighters. We have Canelo Alvarez, who fights here regularly. We've had Triple G. We have Lomachenko, who hasn't fought here in Vegas, but he's made his presence known in America. But we haven't had anything of this magnitude, and we haven't had a great American heavyweight champion in a really long time. And Deontay Wilder has emerged as the face of American boxing and American heavyweight boxing, and he can take that a step further tomorrow night if he beats Tyson Fury. So this is huge. I mean, this is what boxing needs here in Las Vegas. It's what boxing needs in America. I think it's what boxing needs internationally with Tyson Fury's presence in Europe and worldwide as well, with his charisma, with the way he's able to connect with people, with the vulnerability, with his depression and things like that. So, I haven't seen a fight energize the sport as a whole quite like this in a really long time. I mean, Floyd Mayweather was awfully compelling with the way he was able to promote him with his 50-0 record, but he wasn't a heavyweight. And the fact that these are two heavyweights, I mean, the guys at the panel said it last night. There was a panel hosted by the talent that's going to be covering the fight tomorrow, Andre Ward, Lennox Lewis, Sean Porter, et cetera, et cetera. And they all, this is a heavyweight division. Yeah, this is what people think of when they think of boxing. And if there's something that can bring boxing back into the mainstream, it's this.
Yeah, Sam, I'm looking forward to the fight because I think it can help elevate, as you mentioned, the heavyweight division and just kind of bringing boxing back, because for so long it just felt like it was dead, especially once kind of Tyson left. Lennox Lewis was great, but he's such a, kind of a boring figure, quiet, from England. I don't think people identified really with him that much. So I'm kind of curious if this fight, whether it's Wilder, Fury, or a draw again, I don't know what's going to happen. But after this fight, who else is there to look forward to for the heavyweight division for listeners right now that are looking forward to this? And maybe this kind of fight starts turning people more and more of like, okay, boxing, I'm in. The heavyweight division seems back. Who else do you have out there? Because I don't know if you can even name Anthony Joshua, given that he lost his warm-up fight for himself. I don't know if you could count him, but who else would you say in the heavyweight division that can help keep boxing building this kind of momentum?
Yeah. Another really good question, guys. Well, there's a contractual, one of the clauses in the contract is there's going to be a third fight. The loser can exercise a rematch clause, so we might see this again sometime this year, maybe before, maybe in the summer towards the fall. So a good chance we get this again. Joshua's the name, as you mentioned. I mean, we saw what happened against Andy Ruiz last summer. Now, he did avenge that loss, albeit not in the most exciting fashion. I would have liked to see him stop Ruiz. He outboxed him. He kind of ran around the ring, outpointed him, did what he had to do. But he didn't avenge the loss the way you would have hoped he would, in a way that could have perhaps ignited the division even more. Now, we'll see. We'll see if he's willing to step into the ring after Wilder and Fury are done settling their beef this weekend and maybe later in the summer, and willing to unify the titles. We haven't had an undisputed heavyweight champion in a really, really long time. I think Ruiz is still a compelling name. I mean, he didn't just beat Joshua. He annihilated him. Luis Ortiz is another compelling name. I mean, he was willing to get in the ring with Deontay Wilder a couple times, and none of the other top heavyweights are willing to fight him. I think I would love to see him and Ruiz, and maybe one of them go on and fight Joshua again before a possible unification. I don't know. But the fact that you have these two top guys this weekend, Joshua's another big name who's very, very marketable. The division is deeper than it has been in years past during the Klitschko era.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. We're jealous you're going to be there. Sam Gordon, Las Vegas Review-Journal. Go give him a follow on Twitter for all the stuff this weekend. Bye, Sam Gordon.
But who's he picking?
Yeah, who's your pick? We'll get you out on that one. Who's your pick?
Guys, I've been going back and forth. I thought about this ad nauseum, and I can't see. I do not feel good about this prediction at all. I think it could go either way for all the reasons we just talked about. But I can't envision a scenario in which Deontay Wilder doesn't land that right hand. Yeah. He's landed in practically every fight. He nearly won the first one with that right hand, and it can happen at any time. So I think Deontay wins. I'm going to say we see maybe a 10th or 11th round knockout. I expect a tremendous fight, a tremendous atmosphere, tremendous energy. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've never been more excited to cover anything in my career. So it's a big weekend here.
I can't blame you, man. Go give him a follow on Twitter, @BySamGordon. Sam, thanks so much, man. Enjoy the fight, and hopefully we can catch up again here soon.
Okay, sounds good, fellas. Really appreciate you having me. You guys enjoy the fight as well. Take care.
There you go. Sam Gordon, the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He's hyping it up, man. I genuinely want to ask this question to listeners. I'm curious where people are at. You mentioned the poll question at the start. Where are you at on this? Are we excited for this?
I got a party, man. We're jacked for this.
And if you're not jacked, what does that tell you about American boxing?
It might be dead.
55305, where's the interest? Wilder and Fury, round two going down in Vegas. We'll get to that. Crunch time coming up next on The Fam.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. For during the month of February, Crunch has teamed up with the Children's Cancer Association. For every new membership during the month, they're going to donate $5 towards the awesome cause, helping conquer childhood cancer one member at a time. I was not at the Glorious House of Gains.
Yeah, I ain't having that. You got me? I ain't having that.
Sore as hell, man. My calves hurt like a bee.
Your calves? You did good calf work, huh?
Good calf day yesterday.
I've done calf work. I don't think I've ever, like, had them be sore.
Sore? I don't even know what made them sore.
I'm probably not doing it right.
Yeah. Get your calf swole, bro. Get on that calf train. Lots to get to in the final hour, including Sprague and the Lion at 2:30. So get your fake sponsors in 55305. We're all sniffing around that Blazer line tonight.
Am I in lockstep with you two, or am I going the other way? You guys seem to think this is an easy, done deal.
We'll find out. Coming up, 2:30. I want to read two text messages. By the way, you can get a hold of us. 55305 is the fan text line. Let me read two of these quickly, okay? Somebody said, I really enjoyed all the boxing talk. It's nice to have a change from the usual. Thank you. A couple of texts later, can we talk about sports now? Which I quite enjoy.
I asked that person, I was like, wait, do you not like boxing or fighting in general? They responded, just giving you ass more than anything. Ass.
So I just this to me is a fascinating weekend for the sport because, and you pointed this out, I don't know if it's on the air, at least I know you have off the air because we've talked about it. This is all you can ask for boxing, is it not?
Yeah. Everything.
Two undefeated heavyweights. You got an American versus a Brit. Like,
huge guys.
6'6", 6'7", dudes.
These aren't Evander Holyfield, 5'11", 220.
They're giants.
And they're not guys that duck and run. Like,
no,
like,
they're going to stand in the ring and throw haymakers.
Like, I watched the first fight. I bought the first fight, and I was pissed with the draw. That's dumb. I paid money. I watched the entire thing. I just claim a winner. I hate that, but that's a whole other can of worms to get into.
I know you're working. That shouldn't stop. Like, if you were free,
no,
would you watch
this? If I was
free,
I'd watch in a heartbeat. Yes. Okay. I'd watch in a heartbeat if I wasn't working tomorrow night. It was an awesome fight for 12 rounds. Nobody was dancing around. They were going at it for 12 rounds. Fury controlled most of it, but then Wilder knocked him down late. Like, this is all you can ask for boxing. And I think there's almost a larger thing. And we'll see how it turns out ratings-wise, how many people watch that kind of thing on Monday. But if you can't get eyeballs to this... that's not a very good sign for boxing in America.
Well, you know, you have so many other divisions, and Floyd Mayweather for so long carried the sport as kind of just the face of it because of his undefeated streak. Yeah. You know, it didn't matter who you put in, a young Canelo or an old Manny, people wanted to see if he would lose. And a lot of people ended up kind of hating him and turning him into this villain that you root against.
Well, and he he ducked some fights early on.
Well, some would argue he ducked the Pacquiao fight because he demanded blood testing, and Pacquiao's like, dude, screw you. Let's go now. They got that fight far too late in their careers.
Yeah.
But with that being said, it's okay to have a Floyd Mayweather as the face, and he's one of the best boxers of all time, no matter how you feel about him. Nothing carries the sport, in my opinion, like heavyweights. And when you get great heavyweights, you have got to do all you can to use that and launch and get back into that conversation. Yeah. I don't think you're passing UFC. I think they've established themselves too much. People love like the mix of who's your favorite fighter, male and female. It's become a thing. You're not going to pass it. But boxing for a very long time has been dormant. Now, again, Floyd helped it. Canelo, Triple G, guys like that have helped it, right? Andre Ward's of the world have helped it. But I think you need heavyweights to carry it.
Yeah, there's a difference when heavyweights are involved.
And as Swag mentioned, these are not 6'3", 6'4 heavyweights. These are 6'7", 6'6 dudes, like borderline power forwards in the NBA.
And they're both over 250, I think.
Squaring up. Yeah. One dude shredded with no body fat. The other dude kind of has a dad bod, but he's one of the best tacticians you can watch. And both stories are awesome.
They are.
Yeah, both are, you know, a little crazy.
They are a little, like, Fury almost killed himself, man. Like, he almost ended his life. Yeah. He got into a serious depression. Yeah. I highly advise to go listen to him on the Rogan pod. That's one of the best podcasts I've heard. And they're likable, right? Like, I saw a thing, like, Jason Whitlock on his show had Fury on, and he tried to, like, imply that this is a racial thing, and I'm...
Yeah,
Fury shut that down. I was like, no, dude, there's respect. Both. This is not a racial thing. I'm trying to pick who I want to go with, and I'll give you the pick at 230. But I find both likable. I find both easy to want to watch box for different reasons. I know I'm kind of preaching right now, but this really is it. If you care about boxing, if you say you do, you're watching this fight, and I want to know if this can elevate and bring boxing more to the forefront.
I didn't look into it because it's senior night for the pilot, so I got to work. What are they dinging you for this?
Yeah, what's the charge?
What's the pay-per-view? Do you know?
I think it's 80.
The first one was more than that, if I'm not mistaken,
I'm chipping in at a buddy's house, so he'll be the one to purchase it, but I think it's 80. And if I'm wrong, apologies.
Okay.
But I think it's 80.
And they usually put some decent undercards together for these.
Yeah, it's a night of entertainment. Like, what else is going on Saturday night? If you're college hoops, you got
not
that.
A
but
big, there's not a major sporting event this weekend.
There's WHO hockey. Okay, come on.
On the WB. No, from like 6 to 9:30, this is the best thing on TV.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I think people, you know, Jesse texting in and said, boxing, it interests me. I would watch, it's too expensive. That's the thing. I mean, you got to do it from a friend angle.
Short of getting this on some sort of either regular cable or network TV, ESPN, ABC, Fox, putting it where...
Just on Fox or just on ABC.
You just have to get somewhere. I would be curious... What sort of number that would pull? Like if it was on Fox.
Just on national television on a network channel.
You put this on Fox.
Yeah.
I think you might get an NFL number.
And, wow, you think it'd be that big?
I think you could get 30 million views to
this. And if
this,
that's more profitable for a network than whatever they make on the pay-per-view access.
It's an interesting angle to it, if you can make more that way, just because you're going to get more viewers.
I should have brought
this up. If you're
going
to do this, though, I mean, the point, though, to Jesse's saying it's expensive.
But this is the fight
you do it. This would be the one you would do it with. You would have to, I mean, if you want to make it affordable, you just got to get together with four or five buddies. You got to find a couple people that you know.
I would totally be doing that this weekend. Like I said, if we weren't working, I'd be, let's go. Where do you guys want to go do this?
Right. Everybody put in 15, 20 bucks, depending on how many you get around you. And then you watch the fight. Watch it for a couple hours. You can throw some bets down while you're there, either with each other or on the lottery app, because that's just going to add to the entertainment factor for it. Yeah, I don't know. It's a big fight. We'll carry this over.
$74.99 was the price of the first fight.
$74.99? Okay.
And
so it's slightly more than the last one.
I'm trying to, because there's differing numbers for the UK, the US. I'm trying to combine to see what their viewership, because remember, you're purchasing it, so what your viewerships were with purchase.
Okay, and somebody's texting, and this fight is nothing compared to what we had in the 80s and 90s. Now, is that an old NBA fuddy-duddy take, or is there any legs to that? We're against it. We got a break. We'll get to this in the final hour. A couple other things to get to, including one 36-year-old who called the cops about something that made me laugh. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. But during the month of February, they've teamed up with the Children's Cancer Association. For every new membership during the month, they're going to donate $5 towards the awesome cause, helping conquer childhood cancer one member at a time. Loaded final hour with a little more boxing talk. We got some poll questions we need to get to. Don't forget, Sprague in the Line coming up at 2:30. So get your fake sponsors in. 55305 is the fan text line. And we'll make our picks for the big boxing match tomorrow night. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.